Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. It's good to see people, old faces. I need to be careful that I don't do what I did one time before. I was telling Wally earlier that I was in, there were lots of visitors in Powell River, and I said, it's so nice to see so many strange faces in church. Many of you are probably aware that in our Anglican pattern of worship, we have two different lectionaries. The lectionary, as we call it, is the pattern of reading, how we read Scripture. And you probably know that there's a pattern that we read Scriptures every Sunday. But there's also another pattern for every day. And not every day, just every day, but every day and every evening. And I suspect that many of us in the Anglican Church are not terribly diligent about this one. The daily lectionary is sequential. In other words, it follows on one after the other. We read huge swaths of Scripture, but the way the pattern is set out is you read something like a chapter in the morning and the next chapter in the evening and the next chapter, no matter what it says or what it's about. And so we follow Scripture over a two-year period, an enormous amount of Scripture. When we come to Sundays and the Sunday lectionary, it follows a very different pattern. The pattern is thematic. In other words, there is a theme. And the way the people who have designed the lectionary have done it is to choose a theme and then go around through Scripture and pull pieces that support that theme. So every time we come to church on a Sunday, we should be able to see what is the common theme or the thread that runs through all these readings. We very often have something from the Old Testament or from some parts of the Acts of the Apostles, it was this morning, and the Psalm, and Peter was writing to us, and the Gospel. So the question is, what did you hear? What did you hear this morning? It seems to me that the theme that is running through the thing is about love and care. Love and care. Following the commandments of God. Do you remember some of you were here on Maundy Thursday? And we read the story that says, Jesus said to us, you know why it's called Maundy Thursday? Monday is a variation of mandatum, and mandatum is the Latin word commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love who? One another. Now this runs absolutely counter to our common concept of society, where normally people say, my important thing is to love myself. And if I've got any time left over, I'll share it with somebody, and I feel very good about that. But that's not the Christian story. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. That was the attitude of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish church that Jesus was part of, was we love ourselves. And there are those people out there, well, we won't be too bad to them. But Jesus turned it all on its head and said, we are called to love one another. Now, as an aside, I want to go back to something else and to ask you, do you know what Sunday this is? I hear somebody saying it. It's the sixth Sunday of Easter. Now, we've only called it the sixth Sunday of Easter for a fairly recent time. It's probably about 25 or 30 years. And before that, we always called it a Sunday after Easter. And it would have been the fifth Sunday after Easter, not the sixth Sunday of Easter. And I challenge you to work at it. What's the difference? After keeps the event out there, away from me. I can acknowledge that there was a wonderful thing that happened in Jerusalem a long time ago, and we celebrate it every once in a while, and we acknowledge it. There was a resurrection. But the Sunday of Easter says it's still happening and that we are part of it. We are people of resurrection. This is a Sunday of resurrection, noting that we are called to be people who live out the gospel. It's not just something that is in a book up there or anywhere else that we can keep at home, and it's a treasure to have a Bible at home. The Bible needs to be right in us. And so that emphasis comes out again and again and again in subtle ways in language. And I'm sure you all noticed, I asked you to please be seated and listen for the Word of God. Not to listen to the Word of God. The same expression. To the Word of God means it's up there and you heard it and it's there and you can sort of put it away and get on with your life. When we listen for the Word of God, we are listening to what is God saying to the readers and these words, and the readers lifting those words off that page into our hearts and minds to say, this is for you. So what are you hearing that you're going to take away from here that will inspire you? Well, we heard about the gospel. The words that were lifted off that page, and I hope you heard very clearly, was Jesus saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, the love here we're talking about is deep respect, honor. As Peter says later on, generosity and reverence. He said it in the reading we heard. That is, love is really caring. Now, I'm not sure, lots of you are spouses. How many spouses have said, if you really loved me, you would do thus and so? And that's very important. Very often as friends or as people, we might not see the point in what the other person is feeling. But if the other person is feeling that, whether we understand it or not, we have a responsibility to honor that and to try to enable that to happen. If you really loved me, you would put the top back on the toothpaste. You know, and it doesn't matter, we find it unimportant, but we do it because it will make somebody else happy. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what is the commandment of God? What is the commandment of Jesus? I was at a service a little while ago, and it was actually a children's talk, which I found very profound. And the person who was giving the talk was saying to the children, what's this? Bible. What's this? That's the Bible. Well done, children. That's great. And what's in the Bible? The story's about God. You're absolutely right. What does it say more than that? It's about Jesus. That's right. And what does it teach us about Jesus? It teaches us that Jesus is the gospel. That's right. And I said, that's wrong. Surely the gospel, the good news, is what Jesus taught us about the nature of God. not the life of Jesus. Jesus is the ladder to help us get up and mend the roof. But the roof still leaks if we only worship the ladder. And so the same thing is true, that we need to honor and the gift of God through the personhood of Jesus, who was the Son of God, the vehicle through which God has revealed himself. But ultimately, the gospel, the good news, is that God loves you and me, and that we are children of God. That's the good news. It's not, the good news isn't just that, wow, Jesus, there was a baby born in Bethlehem, or that Jesus lived in Nazareth with his father and his brothers and sisters. The story is that Jesus loves you and me, and loves the whole world. And that was the gospel that Jesus taught us and tried to emphasize through taking a Samaritan, a rejected person by his church of the day, to say, you see this person whom you don't like? He is a gift of God. The person with whom you have difficulty finding common ground. I'm sure everybody here has some of those. It's a gift of God. And it's up to us to find that common thread. So Jesus says to us, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. You will try to do just that. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you, not for a little while, forever. This is the Spirit of truth, says Jesus. That is the core of the gospel. Sometime later, the Apostle Paul is trying to convince the Athenians, the people in Athens, about their spirituality. They've become quite self-righteous and very arrogant in themselves. They're intellectuals, and they set up a whole series of shrines to various gods around the city. Paul is having, I feel he's having difficulty speaking to them to try to, how do I convince them of the nature of Jesus Christ, who is calling them to understand the universality of God's love for all people? As Paul is sort of struggling to say, how can I present this? He goes for a walk. Now, I'm sure many of you, when you're feeling anxious, or you've got to make a speech, or you've got to do something difficult, you go for a walk in various places, on the streets, or in the forest, or in the wind, or on the beach, or something. Try to think. Paul is walking around Athens, and he notices something. Among all these shrines, there's one shrine which says, to the unknown God. And it always reminds me of having an agenda for the meeting, and you've got all the things that you're going to discuss at the meeting, and the last item is any other business. In case there's anything we've forgotten, we can do it now. And the same thing is true of the Athenians. They've got all these shrines and to all sorts of gods. As you know, they had many gods. And then they have another one, an extra, just in case there's one that we don't know about. And Paul latches onto this one and says, aha. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with an inscription, to an unknown God. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven. He does not live in shrines made with hands, nor is he served by human hands and mortals with breath and the like. We need to always move beyond the stuff of life. These are wonderful, but they are only agents to enable us to understand the presence of the divine in our souls. Who are you? Is the question that is for all of us. Do you see yourself as a soul of God serving God's people in the world? Well, we know that Paul received a difficult reception. Though he sort of flattered them at the beginning to say, I see how extremely religious you are, but you need to learn more. And they didn't like it, and we know that Paul got into great trouble, which eventually cost him his life. Friends, as we hear these words this morning, focus on the theme of commitment and living out the joy of the resurrection, which is to bring new life and new hope to places where there seems to be little. God calls every one of us to be hope in a broken world. We know how much seems to be broken in the world. Everywhere we look around us, in our own communities, in our own society, on this continent, around the world, there seems to be nothing but bad news. That's because we don't listen to the Spirit of God. Jesus ends up his admonitions to the people, and he says, "One day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them." My friends, in your meditations, in your prayers, in your life, may you discern the power of God in your life and share it with all you meet each day. Amen.